You know, one thing brings to my mind too about speed is the fact that I have never experienced this. I hope I never do experience it, but I understand there have been a few cubs who have either intentionally been flown without a windshield or had a windshield break or something of that sort occur in flight. That has really adverse characteristics on the flight, does it not, on the cub?
The windshield, my dad told me one time when he was doing flight test work for the U.S. Army, he dove an L-4 Cub to 190 miles an hour, and two things happened. The windshield caved in. Fortunately, he had face protection, and he lost most all of the round inspection covers on the bottom of the wings on both sides, but the airplane didn't self-destruct. He landed it and was a little bit scared, but yeah, the windshield... Of course, back then the windshield was acetate, nitrocellulose plastic, and quite thin. And no blood or cuts or anything, but it did scare him because just bang, all, like a shotgun, the windshield broke. And I don't know what speed he dove through, but the airplane was still flyable. I have flown and have heard problems where people fly a Cub with the wing root fairings removed, which does significant airfoil or airflow disturbance over the tail. It still flies, but kind of crude.
What's the most popular configuration of the J3 Cub today?
Engine-wise configuration? Yeah, probably, probably the Continental 85 horse engine is the most popular. The 90 horse, I like the 90. It's a better engine. I prefer the 90 over the 0200. 9-to-1. The only problem with the 90 is the performance is almost too good, and the airplane will almost climb itself out of fuel if you have a climb propeller on, where the engine is higher than the fuel supply. So a wing tank is almost mandatory with a 90 horse airplane.
I have a 65 horsepower in mine, and I like the smoothness of the engine. It's a very smooth engine. I also have a metal prop, so mine performs fairly well. So I really like that configuration. Roger, let's go back and talk for a minute about Piper Aircraft, the company itself. Can you tell us what they as a company are doing today in the aviation market and your involvement, your direct involvement with them?
I'll take the second one first. My role is the company historian, and I've just been down to the factory for the last 4 weeks, and as an example, I give history lessons to the employees. I've done that for the last 7 or 8 years, each time I go down. They enjoy that, and I think I'm finally getting through to them about the great history and some of the models, of course, that they've never seen or heard of over the years. So I enjoy doing that, and they enjoy me doing that. I also answer lots of their questions that they get into the factory. On the history of particular aeroplanes or models, and I also prepare presentations for them as well. As for the company, the company's at this moment is doing very well. It has about 730 employees. It's building up 150 planes approximately each year, and of course they have the three different types of planes: the trainers, the Warrior, Archer, and Arrow. And the Seminole Twin, and then they have the Seneca, and then they have what they call the M series, so that's the Mirage, Matrix, and Meridian business single Malibu type, PA-46 type planes. Their business is pretty good, morale is pretty good, despite the fact that they had to postpone the jet program last year, the morale is good. As you know, we're owned by the government of Brunei, and we have a very good relationship with them. And I'd say that the future is looking good.
Good, that's great. I want to ask each one of you, and I'll begin with you, Clyde, about one of your most interesting experiences with the Cub, or one that you know that someone else might have had, a very interesting experience you can relay to the audience.
I've got three quick ones, I guess. I'll with the Cub, I got to fly the very last Lock Haven built Super Cub in December of 1982. They canceled production of the Super Cub for marketing reasons, so forth, but I was selected to ferry the very last Lock Haven built Super Cub from Lock Haven to Lubbock, Texas, to the Piper distributor there. I did this during the Christmas New Year vacation in 1982. 1976, when Piper celebrated their 100,000th airplane manufacturing, they found, luckily, the first Piper Cub, which was a J-2. Of course, Rogers said Piper became Piper November 1st of 1937. November 2nd, 1937, one airplane was built, and that was a J-2 NC-20137. And at the time, it was owned by a corporate pilot in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he allowed Piper to rent the airplane from him to celebrate their 100,000th airplane celebration. The gentleman flew the airplane to Lock Haven, and I was chosen to ferry it back to Ross Draver Airport in Pittsburgh. And my dad flew along beside me in a special Super Cub, the 99,999th airplane Piper built. The N number was N999 Mike Pop. And picked me up and brought me back to Lock Haven. So I flew the first Piper Cub. I flew the last Super Cub. And I flew probably the second Cub built in Vero Beach, Florida. I was a Cub kit program manager, but I flew the second Super Cub when they went back into production in 1988 in Florida. So I've kind of flown some pretty prominent Cubs. Yeah. I feel honored to be able to do that.
Great, that's interesting. Roger, one of your more interesting experiences or one that you know of?
They're probably not flight experiences, but I've met many, many lovely people over the years as part of my goal to complete the history of Piper. And I've had great memories of talking to many, many people. Bill Piper Jr., for example. Fred Weick, who was the, if you like, the designer for the Pawnee and the Cherokee. Carl Berge, who invented, did the design work on the Cherokee as well. And many, many test pilots, which I enjoy talking to at great length, going through their logbooks. I think they're some of the best times. Some flights I enjoy. I've flown most types of Pipers. Aerostar was one of my fastest flights I've had. And Meridian was pretty good too in the UK. But one of the things I do love is, I don't know how many people in the audience have been to Sentimental Journey at Lock Haven, but in the third week of June, we all get together as with Cubs and we go flying. And I think that that's one of the greatest experiences of my life, flying over the mountains of Pennsylvania at 500 feet with the door open, looking for deer and looking for the short strip that we're going to land on. There are so many experiences I love.
Well, let me relay my experiences just briefly, some of my experiences with the Cub. I bought my Cub almost 40 years ago here in Wisconsin, actually. And I was at the time based in Chicago, flying it out of Chicago. And so I moved to Atlanta and decided, obviously, I would take my airplane down there. So I left it at a friend of mine's in Bloomington, Indiana. We tied it down securely at night. And lo and behold, that night, a line of thunderstorms came through. And they broke the tie-down straps, turned the airplane upside down, and did a considerable amount of damage to it. So I ended up trucking it to the Atlanta area and spending about 2 or 3 years redoing it. And then later on, I started letting some younger people fly the airplane, which is, I still do that. And unfortunately, one of them here about, I guess it's been about 6 or 8 years ago, the fuel on-off lever vibrated out partially, and the engine started running rough, so he put it in a field. Now, for those of you who are in the Georgia area, you know there aren't too many fields there to begin with. It's mostly trees. But he found a field, put it in the field, but he did a considerable amount of damage to the fuselage and to the tail section. So he helped, and we rebuilt that. And then about a year ago, another young man that worked with me had the unfortunate experience of landing on pavement in about an 8 or 10 knot crosswind, and the airplane decided it wanted to become a weather vane, and it went into the wind, obviously. The tail spun around, started into a ground loop, which he would have been fine because he had grass on both sides of this pavement, but unfortunately there was a runway marker sitting on the side, and the lift strut caught the marker and just absolutely tore up the wing. And I don't know whether you, those of you who have never been around one of these runway markers, I can assure you they don't move. They're about half inch steel, and it certainly didn't move. So my airplane has been rebuilt at least 3 times, and several other times we've had little incidents occur with it. But I've really been proud of it through the years. It would be, of all the airplanes I've owned, it would be the last one that I would ever get rid of. We've had a fantastic time with it. It's a great airplane. Well, we're going to have to wrap things up, but before we do that, I want to cover a couple of really quick things. First of all, I want you to tell the people in the audience where they can get support if they're in the process of building or restoring a J3 Cub or any other vintage Piper, like Cub Club and some of the different organizations.
Okay, Ron, I guess it, basically the first thing is the Cub Club. That's probably the best support club for any airplane. It has probably the most members of any other type club. The Cub Club is located here in Wisconsin, just about 60 miles south of here in Hartford, Wisconsin. About 4,000 members. I'm the technical advisor for the Cub Club. I've written articles since 1984 when it was founded. I still worked at Piper when the Cub Club began. And I'd say the Cub Club is probably, and get all the back issues of the newsletters. We have companies in the country which are top support, such as Univair Aircraft Corporation in Aurora, Colorado. We have Wag Aero down here in Lyons, Wisconsin. My company, Cub Restoration Services in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. And Dakota Cub Aircraft, they make some parts for the Cubs. They're located in Brandon, South Dakota. That's about all that I can think of.
Good support group, in other words. Real good support group, if I remember correctly. Absolutely.
Probably the most supported airplane.
Right.
It's a very safe airplane to invest in and to buy.
Absolutely.
Because of the numbers and the membership, and the support is unequal to any other airplane.
I know there's also, and we don't have time to really discuss this at length, but I know that there's a very nice Piper Museum in Lock Haven also, and I think you're both involved in that somewhat.
Yes, I volunteer at the museum each year, and it's got some very nice airplanes, and it's located at Lock Haven in the old engineering building. And I just hope that people will find the time to, if you haven't been, you should give it a visit.
And Roger, I notice you have an encyclopedia or something under your chair there. You want to get that out for us? Roger has written this book.
And, 8 pounds.
So if any of you are interested in a very detailed history, this would be the book. Correct, Roger?
That's right. Yes, it a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this. Does the history from the beginning to 2010, and you can get a signed copy from me because I'll be signing them at the Piper booth 140 on Thursday afternoon between 2 and 3.
And lastly, what about forums? Where can the folks in the audience talk to the two of you? Where will they be able to find you throughout the rest of the week?
Roger, go ahead.
I'll be at the Piper booth all week, so you can find me there.
I'll be in the vintage hangar along the back wall at the Cub Club booth all week long. And I also have a forum right after the Cub Club forum up at the forum building Thursday. I think mine starts at 10 o'clock. The Cub Club forum starts at 8 to 9:45. Mine is 10 to 11:45. Thursday, morning.
Great. And I want to thank, I want to personally thank all the people who have flown their J3 Cub to this event. I know that a couple guys from my area in Atlanta flew theirs up. It's a long trek, a long haul, and I'm sure there are people who came from further distance than that. So I know we all really appreciate that, and I think it's very well worthwhile. And to have 182 and probably get some more before the week out is just phenomenal. So Roger, thank you very much. Clyde, thank you very much. We sincerely appreciate you being with us this evening. Thank you. Okay, let's go.